This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar. The ransom, the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red Dye. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Will you recognize me? Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.D. Flynn, representing the White Pants Society. And that is how you get the energy going for an episode. Yes, Lord. But before I go any further into that, got to thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come here and chill with me. Hopefully, got you a little hyped up. But I know you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and that does mean the world to me, so I greatly appreciate it. Is it? First of all, I don't own the rights to that music, you know, whatever that does. But is that Emil or Emily Sandé? I don't know, whatever. The crazy thing is that, like, I discovered her music while watching, I think, Love & Hip Hop Atlanta back in the day. Like, it's one of the few positives that came out of me watching that show. I've long since given that up, along with my other vices. But some good did come from that. I used to watch that show, and I found her. And that album is just, like, crazy. I love that album. And I felt like that song, it vibed with the title and the whole, I guess, vibe of this episode today. You know, like, yeah, I'm saying, like, I wake with good intentions, but the day lasts too long. Like, I be trying to make it. I woke up a Christian, I swear to God. But just y'all be trying me for too long. I can't hold all this evil down for that. Anyway, we're going to get into it. I don't want to talk about it like it's evil, especially when it's going to be like daughter-centric. But I was tried this weekend. Just let me put it at that. I was tried. I survived. But barely, but I was trying, for sure, for certain, like, absolutely. Anyway, question of the week I have, how old do you have to be before you can start calling people young blood? My cousin asked that on Facebook, and I hadn't thought about it until he asked, and now I want to know, because I really want to start calling people young blood. Like, it's a goal of mine now. Like, I just want to do it. I just want to be like, hey, young blood, say young blood. Hand me that over there. Say young blood, what's happening today? Something, I don't know. It feels like a thing I should be doing. I just don't know if I qualify. So I figured I'd ask y'all, get the consensus. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Man, I know a lot is going on in the world. And I have opinions on a lot of these things. But I usually try to save my opinions for where I feel like they're needed. If I can add something new to the conversation or important to the conversation or a different perspective to the conversation, then you know, I feel like I should say something. But so many of these things today, it just feels like I would just be adding to the noise. Just like we all just angry or outraged or whatever. I do want to say this about a lot of this stuff because we seem to be on opposite sides of a lot of these issues. I do sincerely hope that when, like, the truth comes out, or when the final, you know, decisions are made, or when the final, like, conclusion to some of this stuff comes to a head, that there will be some people who back up and say, you know what, I was wrong, my bad, I apologize for all the hateful shit I said in the midst of that argument. You know, I was wrong and you were right. And let's, I feel like we can move on with that. But that fucking never happens. Like, all of these conspiracy theories and all of this stuff, COVID was fake and all of this stuff. Like, nobody ever comes back and be like, man, I was way off with that. My bad. They just move on to the next shit and just argue like they haven't been wrong six times in a row. But I'm just hoping it ain't gonna happen. But a man can hope. It's what I do. Anyway, like I said, this is gonna be a Chef Elise centric episode. I am a black dad. Chef Elise is my daughter. And usually things are very, very smooth. But this weekend, this whole week was a special week. So we're just going to go straight into it. Let's get into the Chef Elise report, which will be the entirety of the episode.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. That's my little girl. I love her to death. I really do. But yeah, anyway, she had a rough start to the week. She was sick this week. I think she got sick like last Friday, and by Sunday, you know, her mom was, you know, texting and calling me to let me know she was sick. And I think, you know, her husband possibly was going to have some issues with his dad being in the hospital. So, you know, it was a question about, you know, whether or not I could help chip in and, you know, and take care of her. You know, my ex-wife has the new baby, and, you know, my daughter's running a fever. So, you know, there's the need to keep some distance between them. And just asking if I could help, man. You know, if it's for my little girl, like, I'd do anything. So, definitely. So, I spent, like, the first 3 days of the week, the majority of the time, you know, over at her house, you know, watching my daughter, making sure she was okay, taking care of her. So, they could go out. I think they had, like, some doctor's appointments and things like that. And so, happy to step in and be of service. It kind of lulled me to sleep because she was sick. She was sick. She wasn't herself. So I was going over there and she was pretty much like watching TV all day, you know, in and out of sleep. I just had to make sure she got her medicine on time, keep her fed. You know, I was, you know, talk to her or whatever like that from time to time. I took her to the doctor on Tuesday. I think it came to, I think the end of it was that, you know, she must have picked up a virus, you know, from somewhere. That's what kids do this time of year. But I think the congestion that the virus caused gave her ear infection, and then that just became the thing we had to fix. So antibiotics, whatever, she back on her feet, back to normal. So that was the first like 3 days of my week, just hanging out with my little girl. But she was very, very subdued, very just chill. You know, not a whole lot of issues. It was, you know, like some vomit. It was some sick stuff, some gross parenting stuff. Like, that is a large part of parenting, I'm coming to learn, is just gross shit. Like, kids are gross. They extremely gross. The birthing process is gross. All of it is gross. But that's just what it is. And I'm coming to terms with that. So with that out of the way, I knew I still, you know, I had my weekend visit coming up. And let me just say this. Elise loves food. She is an eater. She is always hungry. All she really wants to talk about is food. You know, she loves to cook. I'm hoping that, you know, maybe I had something to do with that, with, you know, the cooking and the recipes that we used to do. We don't do them as much these days, and I get into why later on in the episode. But yeah, Elise loves food. Like, she loves food. According to her, she loves me more than food. But don't get it fucked up. She loves food. And that's important for a lot of this story. Anyway, so Friday comes, and you know, my normal routine is I go pick her up from school, and then from school we'll normally go to the grocery store because you know, I don't have kids stuff in the house most of the time, and so to give her the opportunity to participate in, you know, those decisions and what I buy and what she eats, you know, I take her to the store with me on Fridays when I'm buying groceries, you know, with her in mind, and we do that stuff together. So I went to go pick her up from school. She got out early, so I had to get out there early, and that wasn't a big deal. But I get there, and they're doing like cookie decorating at the aftercare program that she was in. So I pick her up, and she doesn't seem interested in it. Like, she points it out to me. She was like, oh, yeah, you know, they're over there decorating cookies with their parents or whatever. And I wasn't sure where that was going to go, because in the past, Elise has not understood that I am her parent also. Like, she has, at one point, I was not her family. Like, she understood family to be the people in her house and the people that are around for holidays and birthdays and stuff. And I wasn't in a position where people were comfortable with me being in certain places. So I wasn't always included in those things. So at one point I was not, like, I was dad, but she didn't understand that dad was a part of her family. And then, you know, I became family, but again, like, her parents were the people in her house, the people she woke up with every day, took her to school, that kind of stuff. So I was dad, never stopped being dad, but I wasn't necessarily viewed as a parent. So when I get there and they're saying they're doing, you know, cookie decorating, and she points out that, you know, they said the kids could do it, you know, if their parents were there, I wasn't sure if she was saying I want to do it or if she was just letting me know something was going on. But eventually she said she did want to do it. So we stopped and we decorated cookies. And there was, some parents from friends of hers that I know. And we had a conversation. And this is why, like, you always got to have your head on a swivel with your kids, because you never know what type of crazy shit they're about to do. So she's decorating a cookie and she decided to make a Mrs. Claus cookie. And she putting everything on this thing. It's like pink frosting, is marshmallows, it's like glitter sparkles, candy cane pieces, little candy hair bows. And then there's like this gel, I guess, candy stuff that one of the parents handed her, like, oh, you want to put some? He was really like, I know, you know, he's cool dude. You know, if you hear this, I'm not. But like he was, I think he was doing it just to like fuck with me, because he was just like handing her like thing after thing, like, oh, you haven't put this on there. Oh, you haven't put this. They got this over there. And it's just, we're talking sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar. And so I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. You ain't eating it, but we'll have that, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But he handed her like some gel candy in the tube, and she's doing that. She said she's going to use it as lipsticks. That's what she was doing for Mrs. Claus's lips and for other stuff. I lost track at one point. And like, I'm having a conversation with him. We're talking about random gross kid stuff and things like that. And before I know it, like, she's, you know, finishing putting up the gel, and like there's some gel on the tip of the thing. So she decides to lick it off. And this is my daughter that's been, you know, she's been home from school for several days with a fever and sick and an ear infection. And now she's like licking the tube of at the cookie decorating station. And it's just, I felt like an asshole, because like I didn't see it coming. Like, the dude had to tell me she did it, because I'm talking to him. I'm not paying attention to her. Like, she's decorating a cookie. How much trouble could she get into? Apparently a lot. It wasn't a lot of trouble, but it was an issue. So I had to take the thing from her and then like have the conversation with one of the ladies. Like, my daughter's been sick. She licked this. Like, I'll pay for it, whatever. They threw it away. It wasn't a huge deal, but it was just like, it was just the beginning of just the little like kid shit. She was on 10 from the moment I saw her, and it just seemed to be like she went from thing to thing to thing, just wreaking fucking havoc. So she finishes the cookie. We take it to the car. Of course, like, she's got this cookie on a plate, so she can't carry anything else, because, you know, she's got to carry this cookie. So I got her coat and all her other stuff. I'm not complaining like it was heavy or anything, but I'm a chauffeur at this point. So we get to the car and get her in the car. Now, mind you, we just spent however much time, you know, sitting in this like cafeteria space decorating cookies in the school that she's familiar with, school that she knows, she's comfortable, she knows where everything is. Like, this is, we're at her school, and we've been sitting here for however long. I drank some water, she ain't drink anything, she was just sitting there decorating a cookie. We get to the car with her cookie. I put the Kids Bop radio on, like, just that's like pure like dad mode activated. Like, whatever you was listening to, that is over, dad. It's Kids Bop time from now till the time you take her home. You know, here we go. Throw the Kids Bop on, pull off. As I'm pulling off, and I told you she lives and goes to school in Pflugerville, which is a real place in Texas. But it's about like a half an hour ride, you know, from my house. And that's like with no traffic. If it's traffic and this is rush hour, it can be longer than that. And we're supposed to do our grocery shopping before we go home. But as soon as I pull off, it's dead. I need to use the bathroom. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, how could you not like say that 15, like just not even 15 minutes ago, like 5 minutes ago, we're in your school. Easy to knock out. No problem. Now we on the road headed, you know, a half an hour away. And I didn't plan on going straight home. So, you know, and we always had a conversation about like how much of an emergency is it? Is it a real emergency? Is it not? And she was like, I really got to go. So, all right. So I decided, all right, we're going to stop and get something to eat at a place I know you like. And we can use the bathroom there. So I said, you know, how about going to this little place, Tropical Smoothie Cafe. She loves it. She always wants to go there if she sees it. And we're going to pass it. So I'm like, all right, I'm just, you know you want to go over there anyway. So that's where we go. And you can use the bathroom while you're there. So we get there. And we get it. You know, we go up to the thing. We order food. And this is not necessarily like the cheapest place to go for like, I don't know, fast food or whatever like that. Like, you know, normally if we're going to stop and get something to eat after school, we're going to go to Whataburger. Which is, you know, if you're not from... If you're not in Texas or don't know Texas, it's a Texas, I don't know, it's like Texas McDonald's or whatever, Texas Hardee's. But it's a big deal, I guess, to people in Texas. So she loves Whataburger. Whataburger is, you know, fairly cheap. I feel like $10, $12, you know, we both can eat, not a problem. Tropical Smoothie Cafe is, you know, healthy and it's smoothies and it's not the same dollar amount, but we going because this way we can eat and she can use the bathroom and I don't have to panic and, you know, be wondering, you know, when she's going to just pee in the seat in the back on the trip home. I'm like that. So the whole reason we there is so she can use the bathroom. I'm like, all right, let's go to the bathroom. The bathroom is down the hall and around the corner. Now she's scared. She can't go to the bathroom because she can't go down the corner, down the hall. I'm like, I'm going with you. We're going to go together. And she just, no, I can now, I can hold it. I can hold it. We don't, you know, it's no big deal, Dad, you know. But they're going to bring the food out. We're going to miss it when they bring it. No, we're not. They're not going to give our food away. It's down the hall. Like, let's just, and it turned into like a 10-minute conversation of me having to convince her that we needed to use, like, we're here. The whole reason we're here and I'm spending this money on these wraps and quesadillas is because you needed to use the bathroom. And so now we're here. You're going to use the bathroom. I wasn't saying it like that. But I was like, my annoyance level was already growing. And, you know, it's like, I got to, like, I told you we was coming over here so you could use the bathroom. Now we're here and you can't use the bathroom. I know you've been in here before. You've eaten here. This is your place. This is your neck of the woods. Like, how did we get here? We could have used the bathroom in school had you just said something. But now we're here. And now you don't want to use the bathroom. We're using the bathroom. It's happening. Come on. Let's go. I'm with you. I'm going with you. Anyway, I got her to the bathroom. We got out of there. Next stop is the grocery store. Get to the grocery store. It's the same thing every week. We got a routine. She picks out a fruit. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a pomelo or something. Pomelo. I don't know. If you never heard of it, it's like the granddaddy of all citrus fruits. It looks like a huge grapefruit. It's a crazy looking thing. We got one of those. We've been doing our exotic fruits kick. This week, she just wanted strawberries. Easy peasy. Done. We go through the rest of the thing. We, you know, she helps me shop for meats and stuff. She's always trying to get steak, and I got to talk her out of that. I'm trying to explain to her the finances of being an adult and eating and shit like that. Like, if you love food, you need to learn what food costs because it ain't free kind of situation. And then we do the thing where we go to the cereal aisle. Now, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, my mother was a single parent. She had two of us, and she wasn't buying multiple cereals. She was buying one cereal that everybody in the house could eat. And she was, you know, somewhat overweight, trying to, you know, watch, you know, certain things, trying to watch what she ate. So we wasn't getting like kiddie cereals, sugary cereals and stuff like that. We would get puffed rice. I don't know if you've ever had puffed rice. But it's sugar smacks without like the sugar. Like it's just puffed rice. Like that's, I don't even know how to describe it to you. Like we would buy cereals and they'd just be like, you're gonna have to add your own sugar kind of thing. So I always like the cereal aisle and just like cereal commercials just was a thing for me growing up. Like I just longed for the day I could have whatever cereal I want. So that's a big deal for me. I take it to the cereal aisle. I'm like, go nuts, you know, get what you want. And she usually finds stuff that she likes and she goes straight to that. And it's, you know, we, you know, rinse, repeat. We do the same thing every week. I'd be like, go ahead, get whatever you want, pick anything. And she normally picks the same thing. We went from like Honey Bunches of Oats, which I felt was like a middle-aged cereal for a six-year-old to be in. And then she, you know, I got her into something. I almost forced her into like more kiddie stuff. And it was like trying Fruit Loops and Fruity Pebbles and stuff like that. And she got to Cocoa Pebbles, which she really liked. And then they didn't have those last week, so I got Cocoa Puffs. And then this week she said that's what she wanted. She wanted Cocoa Puffs again. And that's not abnormal for her to repeat. I'm like, bet. Cocoa Puffs it is. Let's go. And the cereal thing is a big deal because if you give her the option, she will eat cereal for the entire weekend. Like I will ask her what she wants to eat. I will cook special things just for her. All kinds of stuff. She really would prefer to just have cereal. And again, like just like my childhood trauma, I had an issue with food. I really didn't like, you know, having to be talked to and stuff about food. And so yeah, cereal was my go-to, was my, you know, fallback. That's how I, you know, I pretty much lived off cereal. If it wasn't for milk, I don't know where I'd be. But so I give her that. That's what she wants. You know, cereal, fine. Like you can have cereal. I'll try to get her to eat at least, you know, one, you know, real meal. But other than that, I'll let her have the cereal. But cereal is, it's a staple. Like we got to have it. It gets us through weekends. So we bought the cereal. We get home. First thing she wants, cereal. Dad sets it up, gives it to her. And she wants to take the cereal upstairs to her room so she can, you know, watch her little shows or whatever while she's eating it. I don't really want that to happen. But I, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was, you know, having to be there with her during the week or just the driving or the bathroom situation or whatever. Like, I'm just at a level where I'm just like, whatever. Like, just whatever it takes to get you to go do your own little thing so I can wind down for a second, we're going to do that. You want cereal? Here you go. You can take it upstairs. Bad move. Yeah, you know, I know she feels like a big girl and she can do things, but kids can't do certain shit. It's just not possible for them to do it. She can't walk upstairs with a bowl of cereal without spilling it everywhere. Like, just every couple of steps. As much as she's tried to concentrate, I know, like, every three steps, she started thinking about SpongeBob or something, and just in that moment when she lost concentration, oh, there go three more puffs and some milk splashed out the bowl. And so I can just hear that the whole way up the steps. I, you know, looking forward to cleaning that up. And she gets up there. Fine. So now Dad gets a break. I chill. I get the rest of the groceries out the car, get them all the way up to the stairs, get things, you know, put away. This is my version of chilling, like just not having her around to do it. But I'm still working. I'm cleaning up the kitchen. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I feel like, you know, I got the day in the bag. I still got leftovers from Tropical Smoothie Cafe. So that's going to be her dinner or cereal. I'll figure out, like, as a parent, you become secondary in your own mind so quickly. It's like, I need to make sure I got whatever she's going to eat tonight, you know, mentally taken care of. Me and eating, I figure that shit out when I get there. Like, I'm not, who gives a fuck? But, you know, as long as I got her narrowed down, like, I feel like, all right, I got the night. Like, I can chill. So I'm chilling. I go upstairs to, you know, to check on her, see how she's doing. The cereal bowl is damn near full. I'm like, you done with this? You know, and she's like, yeah, I didn't really like it. So I'm like, God damn it. Like, that's a whole weekend, you know, of safety net food that's now, like, negated. And she picked it. And she picked it having had it before. Like, this wasn't the first time she's had this cereal. Like, I'm giving her too much freedom. I'm giving her too many giving her too much input. Like, I don't feel like I should take it away from her. Like, I want her to have input in what happens to her. But now that I've given it to you, these are the decisions that you've made, and they've kind of put me and us behind the eight ball. So I'm not going back to the grocery store. You know, we're going to have to thug it out this weekend. We're going to have to figure this shit out together. Like, I don't know. And now I got a whole bowl of cereal I got to throw away. It's just whatever. It's all right. So now that's out. But we chilling. You know, she's having a good time. Bought her, like, yogurt and stuff like that. She eats a bunch of that. And we chilling. You know, the day is going good. Around 9 o'clock, I think I had already gone upstairs, you know, had the little, like, let's wind down for bed, you know, conversation. She's in her PJs. Again, dad's thinking he got it. She comes downstairs around 9 o'clock. She's hungry. She's always hungry. So I'm like, all right, bet. You know, we got the smoothie cafe stuff in the fridge. I got this. I got that. You know, what you want, let me know what you want. You know, we'll knock it out real quick. You know, I'm not cooking anything, but these are the things we have readily available. You know, it's not a problem. You hungry? I'll pop that in the microwave for you. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want spaghetti. And like, yeah, well, I ain't making no spaghetti right now. We can have spaghetti for dinner tomorrow if you just really got a taste for spaghetti. But spaghetti is not happening tonight. And she's like, but that's what I want. I'm like, well, that's, you know, we don't have that. Like, yes, you do. We bought, because she helped me pick out the spaghetti in the grocery store. It's like, yes, you do. I know we have it, but we don't have it ready to eat. Like, you know, we got the quesadilla you had from Tropical Smoothie Cafe ready to eat. I don't want the quesadilla. I'm like, well, you know, you need to figure out something that I have that you might want, and we can work it out that way, but I'm not making the spaghetti. And so she goes to go back upstairs. And as she's, you know, as she's walking to go upstairs, before she gets to, like, the third step, she just stops and she's like, Dad, just make the spaghetti. And as soon as she said it, man, like, I heard my theme music start playing. You got me fucked up. Got me fucked up. It was just one of those moments where it's like, am I going to call my daughter out her name? Like, what's about to happen? Like, what am I about to do? Because you all know the way we grew up. You know what you could and could not say. And most of us probably don't even remember what it was that happened that taught us those lessons. We just feel like we always knew this is the line you don't cross with mom and or mom and dad, like, or dad. I don't know why I'm fucking that up, but you know what I'm trying to say. And I just, I don't know. Especially when you like the part-time parent, like, that shit is hard. Like, it's just hard to be in that mode. Like, you know, we have so much fun together, and it's like, that's what I want. I want our little weekends to be, you know, memorable and be fun memories, and for you to want to come, you know, hang out with dad and all that kind of stuff. It's like, but you now put me in a position where I'm going to have to be a person that you're not going to want to be around. And that hurts me. Like, you are hurting me. Now I understand what, you know, parents mean when they say this hurts me more than it hurts you. Because I want us to just be cool and just all of that. And you making it so that we can't be cool. And I can't even really tell you how we came to compromise on the spaghetti. I think I've, like, blocked out that whole section of time. Like, everything stopped when she said that shit. And, but we came to a compromise on the spaghetti. She ate the quesadilla and some yogurt. Like, that happened. I would like to say that was the end of the night, but it wasn't, because, you know, she ate this stuff and then, you know, I can hear her still up there with the TV on and just, like, chilling. And I'm going to collect the stuff. Because if I ask her to bring it back downstairs, another one of those moments where it's like, you know, pick your battles. Like, if I ask her to bring the stuff back downstairs, I'm going to have yogurt all over my steps. Or I could just go up there and get it. Now, I could have made her eat downstairs, but I ain't really want to be around her after she said that shit to me. So it was like, all right, you can go ahead and eat upstairs. But now I got to go upstairs and get the stuff. So I go up there to get it. And I decide I'm going to sit and, you know, and spend a little time with her before I go back downstairs. You know, make this a real, like, good night send off, which I thought I had already done. But whatever. It is what it is. So I go up there. I sit at my computer because I figure while I'm up here, maybe I could work on some TikToks or some Reels or something like that. Check out whatever she's, you know, watching on YouTube. And we'll be together. She just likes to be in the room with me. So I go up there, and as soon as I turn the mic on and everything, well, as soon as I sit down and she sees me messing with the mixer, I don't even have the mic on because I'm not recording anything. You know, she wants to come over and mess with me. She's seen that I have like effects and stuff on the that she can put on the mic, and so she likes to play around with those. And so, you know, we did that for a little bit, which was fun. But I want to give y'all some insight on like what this turned into and the mindset of this 7-year-old. When I say that she was on 10, she was on 10, and I don't think everybody understands what that means. But here is what came out of, you know, her sitting, messing around with my mic.
Live News with Elise and Daddy. What am I gonna do tonight, Daddy?
Go to sleep.
I'm not gonna go back to sleep. What are you gonna go do tonight?
Make sure you go to sleep.
I'm not going to sleep, Dad. I just told you I ain't going to sleep.
And yeah, that's, I thought I had more. There is more. I edited that down to the highlights. But that's pretty much where she was at. And I think I was laughing so hard at that point that I had cut the mic off. But yeah, she's, I don't know. She's something else. She's something else. She did go to sleep. She did eventually go to sleep. You know, we ended the news with Daddy and Chef Elise. But it was a hell of a night. And she's good at that, though. She's good at, like, putting me through hell and then, like, doing something super cute that makes me, like, want to forgive it all and remember that that's my sweet pea. But I just wanted somebody to know, like, that's what I was dealing with. And let me, I shouldn't be giving disclaimers for her and her behavior, but she was watching these little YouTube videos of, like, somebody with a Donald Duck puppet, and they scream everything. So that's where her head was at in terms of like content creation, that you're supposed to scream stuff. So all that, I ain't going to sleep. Like, you know, like she was imitating this Donald Duck thing. I'm trying to get her to stop watching those things. They horrible. They suck. I don't understand. Like, there's a video out there that has 2 million views, which is like this 200 million views. I'm sorry. Which is like this guy making a face mask out of mints and mouthwash or some shit like that. And like, I don't know. That's what people enjoy watching. I'm about to give up. But yeah, man, that's how most of Saturday went. You know, Sunday, you know, I mean, that's how most of Friday went. Saturday we get up and you're pretty much back to basics. She's watching her YouTube stuff. You know, I go hang out with her. She watches this one channel, which is like it's like these two corgis. And she loves that shit. She loves this channel with like these two corgis. And while I was sitting there, it got me thinking of this. This is a strange segue, but I feel like we need to take it. I have been single for quite a while. I mean, like pretty much since my divorce. I had the one little experiment, and I shouldn't say experiment because that could be taken the wrong way. I had one little, you know, I guess tryst with a young lady that didn't really work out. But besides that, I just been chilling. And I think my friends and a lot of people, you know, feel like they want to see me in a relationship. They need to see me in a relationship. They feel like I'm not happy or not whole. And I just wanted, let me explain why I'm not in a relationship and why I'm not seeking being in a relationship, right? And this is going to get me in trouble, but this is the best way I can describe it to you. I look at it a lot like dogs. I mean, please just come with me on this ride. I love women. I love women. You know, I would love to be with a woman. That's all an attractive scenario to me. I love dogs. I love dogs. I like playing with dogs. I like, you know, if I come to your house and you have a dog, I'm probably going to be your dog's best friend. Dogs love me. Women love me too. But dogs love me and I love dogs. But I don't have a dog. And do you know why I don't have a dog? It's because I know I don't have the motivation or the energy or the want to take care of a dog. I'm not getting up in the morning to walk a dog. I'm not picking up dog shit. I'm not doing it. I don't think I'm adding dog food to my grocery list. I'm not making sure it's fed. Any of that stuff. I know that I don't have that in me as much as I love dogs. So I will admire your dog from afar. I will watch YouTube videos of dogs with my daughter. I will play with your dog. If I come to your house, I'm not going to do that to your lady. You know what I'm saying? But I don't own a dog. And that's exactly how I feel about relationships. I hope that makes sense to you. Anyway, so yeah, Saturday was back to basics. We chilled. We did mug cakes. We watched. We had movie night. We did our normal stuff. It's pretty cool. But then it became this thing with like her. She wants to help me do everything. And I like, I mean, that's admirable. But her help is not help. It's going to take me longer. She's going to make more mess. It's just, it's horrible. And I like when she's trying to help me with something, I know I seem annoyed because I don't want the help. Just sit down, look. If you could just go do anything else right now, but worry about what I'm doing, I'd appreciate it because you're not helping. Like you're asking me questions as I'm doing things. She's getting to this independent stage where if she knows I'm doing something and she thinks she knows what I need next, you know, she's got a chair in the kitchen, so she's getting on the chair and she's climbing on things. I came out this morning and she had, you know, went and put some food in the microwave herself. And my microwave is above my stove. She can't reach that normally. She got the food out the kitchen, got in a chair, got up to the microwave, put it in the microwave, set the time, turned it on, and took it out. She heated up her own food this morning. And that is terrifying. And it's like, I don't even want those problems. Like I love the fact that you're independent, but your independence means more worries for me. Like all this shit means more worries for me, little girl. She's trying to help me do stuff, and like I'm nervous about what she's doing while she's trying to help me. And at some point, like I buy these mineral waters, and I normally buy like 2 cases of them at a time. And at some point, I hear her like she ripped open the boxes, and she's putting the waters in the refrigerator for me. Like that's probably the one thing I don't put away when I bring my groceries home because I have to carry them up 3 flights of steps to get them to my apartment. Usually by the time I get them up there and I put everything away, I just don't feel like loading up the refrigerator with the waters. And so I just grab them out the case. I'm used to drinking things, you know, room temperature, lukewarm. It's water, so who cares? I'm drinking one now. But she took it upon herself to put the stuff in the fridge for me. And that was really cool. I knew that she was probably putting it someplace I didn't want it to be, and I was going to have to move it around after she was finished. But, you know, I was appreciative of her doing that for me. I remember turning around and saying, thank you. And then she hits me with the, oh, you don't have to thank me, Dad. I didn't make it. Thank the people at HEB for making it. That's the grocery store. Thank the people at HEB for making it. It's like, oh, you're a cute kid. Like, you know, I borderline hate you this weekend, but you are a cute kid. But I guess she does that. Like, she gives me hell during the weekend. She says crazy stuff to me. She was demanding that we went to McDonald's at one point, and I just had to. And I'm such a punk ass dad that I was debating it. Like, you know, she's demanding that we go to McDonald's, one, while I'm in the bathroom, you know, trying to have some parent alone time in the bathroom, thinking that's the one place I can go. No, sir. So I'm in the bathroom, and she's like trying to get in the bathroom, but from the outside, like demanding that we go to McDonald's. And I'm once again pointing to the food we have in the house. By this point, I've made the spaghetti because it's the next day. Like, all right, I made the spaghetti that you asked for. You know, now we got spaghetti, and now you want to go to McDonald's. It's not fucking happening. But I'm on the toilet, sitting there with my phone in my hand, checking Uber Eats to see, you know, if I could get it delivered. I caught myself and I didn't do it. And she ate the spaghetti. But it's a close call. Like, I don't know. I said, after all of this, you know, I finally drop her off today. You know, I tell her mother, you can have her. I'm done. I'm good. And I get in the car, finally get to deactivate dad mode, turn my music back on. And I get home and I look at my phone. And I swear to God, like, the algorithm, Facebook, they always listening. Like, one of the first little things to pop up on my Facebook feed is Michelle Obama talking to Kelly Rowland. Now, I think Kelly is trying to say, like, don't you want to be your, you know, your kids, like, one of their trusted friends? And Michelle Obama's like, no, no, I don't. As soon as I want to be her friend, I have to worry about her liking me. And so much of parenting is not about your kid liking you. And I feel so targeted and attacked. Like, because I know that that's where I am. Like, I don't have her all the time. She has her mom there. She has a stepdad. You know, I feel like I'm fighting to, like, stay important to her. And so when we have our moments together, we have our time together, I want them to be fond, great, loving memories. I want her to, you know, want to spend time with dad. And, you know, and I'm always, like, trying to avoid a situation where I have to do a thing or be a person that's going to make her not want to spend time with dad. And that's not what's best for her. You know, she doesn't need a friend. She needs a parent. And I'm trying to get there. I swear to God, I'm trying to get there. This weekend, I mean, and she's pushing me there. Like, she's pushing me. You know, I told her mom when I saw her, I'm like, I got to tighten up on some things because there's some stuff happening at the house where, you know, and when she does it, I'm like, I know she doesn't do this at home. I know she doesn't. And it's just, you know, punk ass dad. Like, she can sense it. They got that kind of, you know, awareness that they know, you know, what you are and aren't going to do. They know how far they can push you, how, you know, how far they can push somebody else. And I can't, you know, can't let my daughter do that. Not good for her, not good for me. So, man, y'all pray for me. I gotta tighten up and be a tougher dad. I wasn't too much of a punk this weekend. Like, I felt good that I stood my ground on the spaghetti at McDonald's. Like, you know, I was wavering. I was wobbling, but I didn't fall. Like, you know what I'm saying? I took the punch and I almost fell, but I didn't. And I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing crazy to her when she told me to make that spaghetti. Yeah, dad, just make the spaghetti. Yeah. Like, the words that flooded my head at that time was bad. Like, it would have been really bad. But what she doesn't know is I'm going to pay her back because I'm going to remix the fuck out of that I Ain't Going to Sleep Tonight Daddy song. And she's going to have to live with that for the rest of her life. She don't know what she's playing with. I got this equipment for a reason. She about to go viral. It's real. But anyway, that's been my weekend, man. Like, that's my daughter. Like, she is pushing me. She is 7 and she's already pushing me to that point where it's like, I had a couple moments this weekend. It was like, I woke up a Christian. Like, I woke up. I ain't wake up feeling this way about you. And now I do. And I don't like it. And one of us is going to have to change. And it ain't finna be me. I'm old as fuck. You young. You know, you malleable. You can be molded. I'm set in my ways. So we're going to have to change you. We're going to have to change you soon before some bad things happen. Ain't nothing bad going to happen. I love my sweetie. I love her to death. She's the, you know, best thing that ever happened to me. But starting to realize I can't be your friend. And that sucks. Fucking sucks. But that's life. That's all I got for this week. If you made it this far, I appreciate you. You are the real MVP. Please check out my merchandise store at whatistws.com/store. It is hoodie season. So coupon code hoodie season will get you 20% off your entire order. That's HOODIESZN, all one word. You could put it caps, lowercase, whatever, however you feel. But go ahead and, you know, get you some hoodies, hats, long sleeve shirts, whatever. I got blankets. Get it all. It's all dope. I own it and wear it all the time, so I can vouch for it. It's cool shit. And if you're close to me, it's probably what you're getting for Christmas. So deal with it. But yeah, man, that's all I really got. So, you know, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I ain't one of your little friends. And I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.